Browns fans, don't miss A Legacy Unleashed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, celebrating the greatest and most iconic moments in franchise history. For a limited time, now through April 21st, fans can immerse themselves in the Browns' rich history and get up close and personal with legends like Ozzie Newsome, Josh Cribbs, Bernie Kosar, Eric Metcalf, and many others. A Legacy Unleashed for a limited time at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get your tickets at profootballhof.com today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everybody, it's Dan, and welcome to our Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast today. Mary Kate Cabot, Scott Patsko, and I offer a few things that we all noticed from Browns OTAs, the three practices that we were able to watch. So that's coming up here on our Friday Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Now, if you're not a Football Insider subscriber, get on board before mini camp hits next week. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page to get info and get signed up. You get a newsletter delivered to your inbox every day. You get access to exclusive stories on Cleveland.com/Browns, and you can become one of our text subscribers. So again, Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. Get info, get signed up. All right, here we go. Our Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Here we go on our Friday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Browns OTAs, we're recording this on Thursday. They are holding their last OTA practice today. We saw our last of three open practices on Wednesday. They have mini camp next week. They will be all over the place. They'll be at their practice facility Tuesday, the Hall of Fame Wednesday, First Energy Stadium on Thursday, and then they will take a break up until training camp starts at the end of July. So I thought now would be a good time to take a look back at the three OTA practices we watched, things we heard during, after those practices, everything just around it, and kind of come up with some things that we think mattered. So, Mary Kay, what's the first thing that kind of comes to mind when you think about the three practices we got to watch?
Well, I think it's the easiest and most obvious thing is that the fact that Deshaun Watson was actually there, that he participated in all of the OTAs and that he was able to participate in all of the OTAs. I mean, he had to go back and forth to Houston to give depositions. He had to go back and forth to Houston to be interviewed on two different occasions by NFL investigators. So the fact that he was here for all of the OTAs, I thought that was vitally important, especially if he is going to be suspended for, the first, 6 to 8 games or something, and then come back and try to play. I mean, they need to bank as many reps as they can right now. And I think that's why you saw him getting all of the first team reps and some of the second team reps. But there is starting to be some natural chemistry between him and Amari Cooper, him and Donovan Peoples-Jones, him and Anthony Schwartz, David Bell, David Njoku. So I think that's the number one thing that stood out in my mind.
Yeah, I had that at the top of my list too. And I termed it like Deshaun Watson shaking off the rust. And I wrote about that a little bit on the website. Drew Petzing, the new quarterback's coach, mentioned that, even if you're not someone who hasn't played since 2020, you still haven't played football in 3 or 4 months. So he kind of lopped the other quarterbacks in with Deshaun, but clearly Deshaun Watson had some more to shake off than most people. And yeah, like I said, it's important because you don't really know exactly if he's going to be your week one guy. He would have training camp no matter what, but who knows? Who knows how long that can carry you if you're gone for half a season or even more. So him getting out there and kind of figuring out how to play with not just Amari Cooper, just all those receivers, what they're used to, how they like to come out of cuts and how quickly they do that. And just all the little nuances of being a quarterback. This is really important for him to get out there and at least start that process and kind of see where it goes.
I do think it, you know, one of the interesting things is when we were out there yesterday on Wednesday, we saw Josh Dobbs take reps in team drills. And that was the first time in the three practices that I saw Josh Dobbs actually take a team drill rep. He did some of the individual stuff. And when they were doing walkthroughs, you know, against air, he was out there. I thought it was interesting, Mary Kay, that Deshaun Watson was taking so many reps. I think some people might have assumed that, you know, look, you got to get Jacoby Brissett as many reps as possible because maybe he's going to have to play 7 or 8 games or more when the season starts. But they very clearly wanted to get Deshaun Watson. You know, what did Kevin say? There were 300 some reps during the offseason program. They wanted to get Deshaun Watson as many of those as possible.
Yes, and they did. They really did bank a lot of those reps. And what will happen is once they know what the situation is with the NFL in terms of the suspension, then they will pivot from there and try to figure out how to divide it up so that they can get Deshaun ready for some of the season, if that's the case. And then also get Jacoby Brissett really ready to start the season, if that's the case. So, you know, we could see a completely different division of labor when we show up for training camp at the end of July. It'll be also interesting to see what they do in the mini camp practices, even though they're not real long practices. So, you know, they got the bulk of their work in, and the mini camp is it's not real labor intensive. It's, you know, team building, it's going and getting acclimated to the stadium. It's going down and seeing the Pro Football Hall of Fame with only a half an hour practice down there. So this is not going to be, you know, where everybody's getting 80 reps a practice. So, really the end of OTAs kind of meant the end of the, you know, the bulk of the work. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do once they know. And I think they will know by the time training camp opens.
And one of the thing multiple people have mentioned, multiple coaches have mentioned, that this period right now, and even through mini camp, is also about just finding out what Watson's comfortable doing, you know, within the offense, or things that they saw him do previously that, you know, they want to see if it's something that'll work with the Browns, if it's something that is actually a strength. Did they, when they were looking at that on a film, did it really come across the way that they're seeing it in live, things like that? So, and not obviously not with him, maybe with him just across the board, but he's potentially your starting quarterback, expected to be your starting quarterback. So this offense is supposed to go through some adapting, some pivoting. Those are words Stefanski used before. Now's the time to figure out what those adaptations and pivots are supposed to look like, so you can go into training camp and you're, you know, kind of moving forward as a team, and you know, all right, this is what he does well. This is how we're going to into our offense.
Yeah, like I mean, we saw some pistol formation, which is not something we really saw a lot with Baker. You know, so that's probably one of those examples of things they ran in Houston, things Deshaun Watson is comfortable with, maybe even going back to his Clemson days. That they want to install. All right, Scott, what do you think mattered from what we saw at OTAs?
Man, I have a list of things. I don't want to like steal somebody. I think, and again, we mentioned before how these practices are loosely termed practices. It's a lot of individual drills, and then when they do get together with team play, it's a lot. It's like half a step up from a walkthrough in a lot of ways. But I think getting a glimpse of how certain people are going to be used or might be used, it's one of the things, at least I think for us, people who are observing practice, is important. You know, seeing Greg Newsome in the slot, kind of getting a handle on Anthony Schwartz versus David Bell, like who's going to be the third guy there, so to speak. You know, Jacob Phillips, middle linebacker, interior line defensive rotation, Johnny Stanton among the tight ends, you know. Those things kind of give us a glimpse and let us know like things we're going to follow going into training camp, because that's when things are really going to start solidifying. You're going to see them actually have some live sessions. You're going to see them practicing against another team. So getting an idea of how that could shake out now, it seems like they're putting guys, they'll tell us, don't read into reps or who's in front of the line and stuff like that. But I know it's our job. We're going to pay attention to that stuff. So those kinds of things, I think, are what mattered, at least from somebody watching it from the outside.
Yeah, so one of those things that I noticed yesterday, and John Johnson, I think, actually even mentioned this when he spoke, we've talked about Greg Newsome playing in the slot, but yesterday was the first time when I noticed Denzel Ward played a little bit of nickel. So that's one of those things that you kind of notice when you're out there watching practice. And so Mary Kay, was there something, I mean, to me, I would kind of put a pin in that, like, is Denzel Ward going to play some inside now more than maybe he did in the past? Is there something that kind of stood out to you in those regards?
Yeah, you know, I've been saying it. I've been saying that and writing that just because we're seeing Greg Newsome in there doesn't mean that he's the only guy that's going to be playing in the slot. This year is going to be a little bit different when it comes to the vibe back there. And you're going to see a lot of different guys covering the slot when the situation calls for it. Not only will Greg be in there, but again, Denzel will be in there. Any of the defensive backs. And John Johnson talked about this yesterday, about the safeties playing as nickel backs, you know, Ronnie Harrison and Grant Delpit and maybe even him. So it's going to be a slot by committee. And I think as the preseason and the season gets underway, we'll have a little bit of a better feel for how that's going to shake out.
The death lineup is coming. I wrote about this before last season, how the Browns could have their own version, the way the Golden State Warriors had theirs in basketball. You know, and I think JOK, I thought, would unlock that. If Denzel Ward is able, like, they have multiple corners who can just, like, it's switching in basketball. It doesn't matter who has the ball. You just, you know, you switch onto that person. That's what that would be like, just having anybody be able to play in the slot like that. The death lineup, man.
We had a texter suggest that maybe the Browns should bring back Romeo Crennel's UFO defense. I think that was a Romeo Crennel thing back who just retired. We talked a little bit about him on the Hey MK pod. The UFO defense. What if they just don't play with any defensive tackles? What if they just throw a bunch of like ends out there and safeties and corners and line Miles up at safety? It's just...
Hey, you saw weird. Them use three edge defenders along with Malik Jackson last season multiple times. So, yeah.
Yeah, Tag McKinley played inside a number of times, you know, Jadeveon Clowney back as well. Okay, so I guess mine is I want to talk a little bit about attendance. I know this is something we talk a lot about with the spring program, and you can make a big deal out of it if you want. You can kind of shrug it off if you want. But I do think, like, every time we were out there, there were, I don't know if they're up to 90 on the roster, but there were close to probably 84, 85 players out there every time. You know, Joel Bitonio wasn't there at all. He was the only, you know, he missed, I don't think we saw him at all. Jack Conklin, I think, was at the golf outing, but he was not at any of the practices. You know, Miles Garrett was in and out. Jadeveon Clowney showed up and signed his contract, wasn't there. David Njoku did the same thing, but beyond really those five guys, it was pretty much everyone there. Even Jakeem Grant was there. You know, he missed a practice last week, but he was there yesterday. He didn't participate. He had a wrap on one of his legs, but, you know, even in that situation, he was there in the building. And I do think it says something about this team's approach this year, Mary Kay, that there were so many players in attendance and so many key important players, starting players that didn't need to be there, showed up and were there.
Yeah, I thought that was vitally important. And I know how important this was to Kevin Stefanski. He has verbalized to us numerous times, how, you know, this was the first time he had an offseason program where his offense was there. The defense spent a good chunk of the time there last year, but because of JC Tretter last year, the offense didn't. And so with COVID and everything else, this was his first chance to really install a lot of the offense in the offseason. And it was vitally important. I do also think, as we've gone along and we've heard Kevin Stefanski speak, I think it is a major reason why JC Tretter is not here. I think that it was so important for them to get these guys together and get them here for the offseason program. They did not want them following the leader like they did last year. So I think that, you know, that really hardline stance that he took may have impacted his future with the Browns. He could still be here right now. He is currently looking for another team, and who knows, you know, other teams may have been a little bit wary of that happening to them. So You know, we'll have to see as time goes on, but I think that was definitely a factor. The other thing is, you know, there are only 10 practices of OTAs. Leading up to it, it's mostly, you know, conditioning and, you know, some on-field work, just individual and, you know, offense over here and defense over there. But once OTAs hit, and this is the third and final week of OTAs, there are only 10 practices where you get to do 11 on 11s, offense versus defense. It's not pads, it's not contact, but you get to see, you know, Greg Newsome going up against Amari Cooper. You get to see David Bell trying his hand against Denzel Ward and Anthony Schwartz going up against, you know, Greedy Williams, whatever. So it's the first time of the offseason that you actually get to see all of that. And you do pick up a lot of things and you do learn things about, you know, who's got the speed, who's got the vision, who's got the, you know, whatever you need, who can play in the nickel, who can't. So I do think that attendance was so important this year. And I actually was a little bit surprised. Now, Jack Conklin is still rehabbing his torn patella tendon. Right. And I don't expect him to participate at all in minicamp. So that one was understandable. He's probably even in the building working.
Yeah. Like I said, he was, I think I spotted him at the golf outing. So he might be around. He just wasn't out of practice.
Yeah. But there were a couple days that we were there where Miles wasn't there. And that was a little bit surprising because, you know, I feel like, I mean, he did a good job. He took these guys to South Beach. He took the defensive, at least the big guys, down to South Beach. But I think for us to show up a couple of times for open practices, I think it was the first and the third one, right? And have him not be there. I was a little surprised about that. Because I do think that you want to set the tone and you want to do everything that you possibly can to make sure that this season goes the way that you want it to go. So I would have thought that he would have been around for all 10 days. And who knows, maybe he did 8 of, you know, 7 of them or something. You know, I don't really know for sure. But but for the most part, I thought it was great. And then Jadeveon Clowney, after Jadeveon Clowney signed his contract, you know, even Miles said, yeah, I think I'm going to try to get him up here. And then he wasn't here this week. I just feel like careers are short. 10 OTA practices, that, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to just kind of show up and get the ball rolling.
I think even when Miles has been there, and I think this was the case when we did see him at OTAs, he's not participating in everything. Like, you know, the guys are kind of running through some drills and maybe sometimes he's kind of kneeled off to the side, kind of watching another position group. He's noticed that in training camp sometimes. He's just seems to be on his own little schedule. So I guess you get to that level as a player, that status on a franchise, you can have that.
Yeah, I think Miles is one of those guys that knows. He just strikes me as someone who he has sort of his own plan. Like, this is how I'm going to approach the offseason. This is what I want to, you know, this is my workout plan. This is how I want to be ready for the season. And it was, you know, I'm glad he at least showed up for, you know, a few of the practices and was there. And I think just from the standpoint of, you know, look, these coaches are going to coach whoever's there. If the three of us suited up and went out on the practice field, they would coach us. But it is more beneficial for them to be coaching, you know, players who are actually going to be playing in September, who are going to impact wins and losses in September. It's more meaningful time as opposed to coaching guys who, like, just guys who are like bottom of the roster. We don't even know if they're going to make the initial 53. You know, like I said, they're going to coach everybody up the same, but you just basically had 10 extra practices with guys who are definitely going to affect winning and losing when these real games start.
Yeah. And in addition to the fact that you're coaching up guys that are actually going to be in those spots when you take the field for a game, there's so much bonding and mentorship that goes on during these OTAs. You get so much out of Jadeveon Clowney working with Alex Wright and saying, no, you know, like, here's what you can do with that move, or try this, or add this to your repertoire. Same thing with Myles Garrett. You know, let's take Perrion Winfrey under your wing a little bit and, you know, show him how to work, or show him how to how to do something. So, and you see that we've seen that a ton with the other guys. We've seen, and we've heard Anthony Schwartz talk about how Deshaun Watson is working with him and saying, here's how, you know, here's what I would love to see you do on that route. You know, so I think there's a lot of that that happens. And I don't know, I just feel like if, you know, if guys like Deshaun and JJ3 and Denzel can show up and be here, you know, it would be nice if you could get full attendance from your sort of, you know, so-called star players. They don't have to do everything. Like Scott said, you know, take some reps off, you know, you want to stay healthy, but, you know, just to be here, to have your presence here, to hear the, you know, the terminology again, there's going to be a focus, a shift in focus on both sides of the ball schematically, and, you know, start to get a feel for that too. So we'll see how it goes.
I will say there's some guys that I feel like sometimes just show up because they have nothing better to do. They're just bored. They're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go to OTAs. there's a few guys that I think maybe take that approach. But again, look, they're there. And now mandatory minicamp coming up next week. Let's take a break. And then, Scott, I know you said you had like a list of things. I've got at least one other thing that I can mention as well. So we'll do that on the other side here.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. All right, Scott, what else did you have on your list?
Well, I got two things. I'll go with one. And we've kind of, I don't know if we really touched on this, but I think I mentioned how for us, like seeing where some players are going to play, that matters. But I think for the franchise, just getting on the field, the fact that OTAs happened and the focus is on football, especially for people in the front office, people on the coaching staff, with all that's kind of swirling around the team with Watson and Baker, you know, there seemed to be an off-field storyline every week. We were out there. A lot of coaches and players had asked their questions, but that's just 3 days, right? The rest of the time, they're focused on football. And I think that's really what this franchise needs right now, is just to be able to do that. And to, you know, there's a lot of other things they have to deal with. But for the players and the coaches to just kind of dive into that over this, you know, almost a month here, just be focused on that is probably good. So I think one of the things that mattered most is the fact that it happened. And then again, attendance kind of rolls into this, the fact that you had so many people there taking part in it, but that's important. And there's probably going to be more change than there has been on this team, like Mary Kay said, over the past couple of years. So yeah, just focusing on football, I think is something that mattered.
Yeah, Scott, you're right. I mean, in terms of the changes, you know, defensively, there will be, you know, some things that are tweaked, but offensively, I think it's going to be an overhaul, right? I mean, it's an offensive overhaul because there will be, and they actually considered this to be a passing camp. That's the way they looked at it. It was a passing camp because they are 100% upgrading their passing game and changing the focus and the philosophy with Deshaun Watson, supposedly, playing quarterback for them this season. So there will be so much more, you know, like you said, we saw some pistol out there. There will be more three wides. There will be just more passing in general. I think it'll be, you know, I don't want to say lopsided this year, but I don't think it's going to be even Steven in terms of passing reps and running reps during games. I think it's going to be pass heavy. I still think they're going to use the tight ends a lot. I think there'll be a lot of downfield. I think there'll be designed runs for Deshaun. I think they'll take advantage of his legs. But I mean, so to be here for that, I think is really important for everybody, especially on offense.
I mean, I think it will be. I don't think it's going to be like Kansas City Chiefs level lopsided, but I do think there's going to be times this season where it's like, oh, they really did throw the ball significantly more than they ran it. Now at some point you do have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and you know, you want to obviously use them and play to their strengths, but You know, I do think, listen, we talk about it all the time, right? This is a data-driven organization, and they've got Paul DePodesta and an analytics department sitting there working through this stuff, and passing the ball is just more efficient. And I think that's ultimately what they want to be. And when you bring in a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, just like you're going to play to Nick Chubb's strengths, Deshaun Watson touches the ball every single play. You got to play to his strengths too.
It'd be easy to improve on the amount of passing because they were so low, especially when, you know, you just consider throwing to wide receivers. Stefanski's offense just is not set up to do a lot of that. So yeah, I expect them to do the more of that, especially downfield passing, because Watson's been a lot more consistent than Baker had been over his career, connecting downfield and doing the kinds of routes that Stefanski, his offense, kind of excelled at, even in Minnesota, before Baker became part of it. So that could be definitely something, you know, whether it's Amari Cooper or David Bell, or probably more likely Anthony Schwartz, DPJ, or definitely David Njoku, taking advantage of those guys being able to get down the field. That could be something that shows up. And one of the first things we saw when we first walked into that first OTA practice was Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt on the field together in a formation. So
that's true.
That, as always, will continue to be something people are looking for.
One of the things I wanted to bring up is, I feel like we just watching these practices, listen, watching football practice can get a little bit boring. This is not a complaint. I'm just saying watching football practice can get a little bit boring. And watching Kevin Stefanski practices sometimes can be really boring. I feel like we sort of know, based on what this will be, the third training camp coming up. Now we have a full offseason program that we've watched. We sort of know how Kevin Stefanski likes to practice. And Mary Kay, it just feels like he's very focused every day on what he wants to get done. I mean, they were doing a lot of third down. I think yesterday they were doing a lot of third and one. A lot of situational stuff. I mean, this isn't, you know, Hugh Jackson always ran really physical practices. Freddie Kitchens had him in pads every day. And those practices were not super physical, but they were long, like exhausting practices. Mm-hmm. Kevin seems very focused on what he, you know, Mike Pettine's practices were really physical and competitive. Kevin is very focused on what he wants to do. And he's very focused on situations. It feels like he's going to put these guys through a lot of situational stuff.
Yeah, he definitely does that. It's very, very organized. It's very efficient. It's very upbeat. That's sort of the Bill Belichick way of doing things as well. A lot of situational football, so that when you get into these situations, you know exactly what you need to do. And everyone is playing smart football. That's one of the reasons why they hire smart players, because you know, you have to be able to move that quickly, grasp things that fast. And nobody really seems out of place. It looks like, you know, guys are, the moment's not too big for some of the rookies. You know, I watched a little bit of Martin Emerson yesterday, some of the younger guys, and they seem to be fitting in. David Bell, I thought David Bell had a really nice OTAs. So yeah, it's very, very efficient. And they did a really nice job with getting all the work in. And then I wonder if in that regard, they might actually do things a little bit differently in training camp, because they got so much work in OTAs, you know, I mean, maybe they'll do, they'll change up the schedule a little bit and lighten up on them a bit. And the other thing real quick, I got to mention, I remember last year, I kept saying over and over and over, is there something wrong with these fields? Like, why is everybody ending up with, do you guys remember me saying that all
yes,
the time?
I do.
Yeah. I was like, is it the fields? You know, why is everybody pulling groins and pulling hamstrings? And lo and behold, they redid all of the fields this year. So I just wonder if that, you know, if they didn't come to the conclusion that perhaps there was something that wasn't right.
I think they're heated fields now too.
Wow.
I think that was one of the things they did.
They can thank me for that. The players can thank me for the heat of it.
Although I did see a couple people slip. There was a line we went down and almost rolled up on Deshaun Watson yesterday. And then Deshaun himself, when he was kind of rearing back to throw during 7-on-7s, his feet just went out. One of his feet went out from under him and he almost bit it. But I only go back to like Hugh Jackson with covering this team. But I do agree with Dan. There's a definite difference between practices. I think Stefanski is more focused on the results of the practice, whereas especially with Freddie, it was like practice was something you endured, you know. It was made to however he felt you need to be prepared for the season. It was definitely like an endurance thing, standing out there in the heat, and I'm just standing there, I'm not in pads and running around and getting hit. That was tough enough for me to do, but yeah, there is a definite difference. And you have to think that some of that could be embracing the data driven stuff. How to get the most out of this time. Is it getting everybody in pads and making really, you know, things really long and even being having a physical practice, or is it mostly kind of almost doing a walkthrough and making it more cerebral and just kind of reinforcing the things that you showed them in the classroom? So
yeah, I think you kind of nailed it there, Scott. It does feel like, and again, this is OTA, so there's a lot of rules that, you know, in training camp, obviously you can put on the pads, you can be more aggressive, but it just watching these practices and then also just the last two training camp practices, you know, I mean, Mike Pettine used to have the jersey competition at the end of every practice. And, you know, Hugh had the siren periods, and Freddie's practices were always so competition focused. It does feel like Kevin uses these practices as more of, you know, we're really going to rep things. And if that means when we go 11 on 11, it's going to be walkthrough or like 75%. That's what we're going to do. That's more important than we're going to line up offense versus defense and we're going to compete for, you know, a 10 minute period.
And then I think the other thing that it's important to note is that even though everything's, you know, very efficient and very methodical and very situational, he's trying to keep it fun too. And that's been an important focus this offseason and will continue to be through the mini camp. You know, he put the basketball hoop out there, let them play knockout, taking them to the Pro Football Hall of Fame there. And I'm sure there are other things that we haven't seen and that we don't know about, but the point of emphasis has been that team building, that camaraderie. They're building some things inside the building and doing some things. Remember, John Johnson asked for, you know, yoga instructors and all that kind of stuff. So there is a concerted effort to lighten things up at the same time.
All right. Did we have anything else? Mary Kay, did you have another one?
You know, the only thing that I had was, and this isn't just necessarily because of minicamp, but during minicamp, they sort of solidified the roster by signing Jadeveon Clowney, by extending David Njoku, and by signing Dearness Johnson. So they sort of tied up the loose ends of the roster during these OTAs. And I thought it was kind of important to get those things done during OTAs so that, you know, so that you knew what you had during the 6 week break. And, you know, so that I thought that was good. I mean, David Njoku was actually holding out of OTAs until he got his contract. So, you know, that mattered. You know, they got him in here and got him done. And that's important because he's the number one tight end this year. So just getting all those three guys in, I thought was important.
It's actually funny you said that, because that was one that I had in my head that I had forgotten about, that like they got these loose ends done. You know, even Denzel's extension came during OTA, or at least during the offseason program. I don't remember the exact timing of that, but kind of getting all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Andrew Berry is very order of operation. Mm-hmm. And so you could just kind of sense it. All right, get through the draft. Now let's get these extensions done. Let's make sure we're all squared away for minicamp. And now we're not going to be spending next week figuring out like, ooh, is David Njoku going to risk it and not show up? Or, you know, everything's, even the Baker Mayfield thing is off the table now. It's done. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not done, but the part of him not having come to minicamp is done. Everything's just sort of settled right now.
Yeah, except for Deshaun Watson.
Well, yeah. Give me a long time before that's fully settled.
That's right. That's another podcast, which we've certainly done plenty of.
Right.
Okay. So I think we're good there. Mary Kay, you've got construction vehicles going by your house. And maybe got new fields being installed outside your house as we speak.
Oh yeah. One of these days I'll be able to get back down my street, driving down my street and get into my driveway, but we have new sewers. We've got new roads. Got a new apron. It's lovely.
There you go. It's all worth it for the new apron. All right. That'll do it for this edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure you sign up for Football Insider. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. For Mary Kay and Scott, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.